So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter number 2, or Daniel chapter number 3. And I was talking with Kim yesterday about preaching, and I said I'm really between a couple of things I'm praying about back and forth and back and forth. And she said, well, preach on something happy. And I said, that's why God didn't call you to preach. I don't think I might have thought that. I don't know if I said it or not. But, you know, that's what we'd always, you know, humanly speaking, and even myself, you know, it's all happy just depending on how you look at it. As God's people, we have nothing but good things to look forward to. I'm afraid this world is really heading. I'm not afraid. I'm sure this world is heading towards a bad, bad time. And I believe many things are coming together. And we see these things even foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 6. We're going to read those verses. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. This is what the Lord laid on my heart, and I got settled with. Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings, and I want to thank you that we're able to meet together this morning, and that it is well with us, and that you have answered many prayers, and we have many things we're still praying about. We have people that are lost, that need to be saved. We have people that are sick with different things. Cancer is always seems like a thing that we're dealing with, and people get all the time, and Lord, our heart goes out, and we pray for those that are having treatments and things like that. It's just a hard thing to go through, surgeries, and so Lord, we come, we bring our prayers before you this morning, and we ask for help in the message today, and I pray that you'd give me boldness, and I pray that you would help us as your people to have a good courage in these last days, and that we would be a voice for the gospel. We would be salt and light, and we would point people to the one that can meet our needs and answer our problems, and most of all, that they need to be saved by the grace of God. So have your way today. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, so we appreciate your prayers this morning as we try to preach and share with you what the Lord's laid on our heart. Let's go back and, you know, if you grew up in church, Sunday school, I'm sure you are familiar with the book of Daniel and what is going on here in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image, and he expects everybody to bow down and worship his image that he has set up. The Bible said in verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, what I want to preach on today is the subject of Nebuchadnezzar's initiative. Nebuchadnezzar's initiative. Now, an initiative, that word, if you look it up, it means to introduce something. That's what he did. Well, that's what he's doing. He's introducing something to all the people in all of the realm of all of his kingdom. It means an introductory act. It means to begin something. And Nebuchadnezzar at this time was the most powerful king in all the world. The kingdom of Babylon stretched in many, many different directions. They had conquered many, many different peoples, and he was probably at this time the most powerful person in the world. In fact, I know according to the Bible that he was. Now, the latest conquest in his kingdom was Israel, and Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed, and the riches of the temple had been carried away back to Babylon along with many of the people, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being some of the people that they had carried away captive. They had brought them back to Babylon, and they had assimilated them into that culture. They had taught many of them their language. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had positions in the, what you might say, the cabinet, the big wigs of Nebuchadnezzar's government. I mean, it was just, he had a huge realm of influence. This Babylon that we read about, it's not the first time you come across Babylon in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, you read about Babel. We've all heard about the Tower of Babel and Nimrod. And you might remember that Nimrod also tried to get everybody in the world to worship the same God, the same way, to bow down to his government, you might say, to follow him. And so this is the same thing happening again many, many, many years later. It's the same thing, Babel, Babylon. And so we find Nebuchadnezzar here, and he's the most powerful man in the world. And we find that he had already had a dream, and Daniel had interpreted that dream for him. Now go back to chapter 2, verse number 37. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. Nobody knows what it means, but Daniel prays, and God gives him the interpretation of that dream and what it meant. Now, in Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 37, Daniel said, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So God had already informed Nebuchadnezzar that basically he was the most powerful man upon the earth, and wherever men dwell, they were under his subjection. They were in his realm. They were under his authority. And in that dream, he saw a great image, and the head of that image was made out of gold. And Daniel said, by God interpreting that dream, "Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. You're the biggest, most powerful, richest, greatest ruler in all of the world. You're already there." But Nebuchadnezzar comes along and makes his own image and wants everybody to bow down to that image of gold. Have you ever wondered why it seems like that no matter how rich, and I'm not talking about rich like little rich, I'm talking about super rich. The super rich, super powerful people in this world, no matter how rich they are, no matter how powerful many of them are, no matter what they have, even unto being the richest, It's never enough. Have you ever noticed that? You would think when you made more money than you could possibly spend in all of your life and you had more power and more control over things that people don't even dream about, you would think there would be a point, well, that's enough. You'd think a lot of them that's been in Congress and Senate all these years, why don't they just go home? Well, why they got to hang around? I mean, some of these people have been in office and in power almost longer than I've been alive, and I've got gray hair. I'm 50 years old. Why do they have to hang around? Why don't you just go home, spend some time with your grandchildren? You know, just leave us alone. Let somebody else have an opportunity. But it's for some people, it's never enough. No matter how much power, no matter how much influence, no matter how much riches that they have, it's never enough. The absolute thirst for more power and more influence when you already have what most people would say, you have it all. Do you know where that comes from? That is a satanic spirit. That is where that comes from. Nebuchadnezzar had already been informed, you're the head of gold. You are the king of kings. Wherever men dwell, you're the king over them. But it wasn't enough. That is a satanic spirit. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that about people. I'm giving you a Bible principle. Satan had that spirit. That's what I'm saying. In Ezekiel chapter number 28, it talks about Satan, Lucifer. The Bible says over there that he was the anointed cherub. He was in the garden of God. He was the perfection of beauty. He was full of wisdom, according to the Bible. But if you study in Isaiah chapter number 14, all of those things were not enough. He was right up there as far as in God's heavenly kingdom. He was what you might say, number two. But it wasn't enough. He said, Isaiah 14, I will ascend above the stars of the north. I will be like the Most High. I will be above. He wanted to be above God Himself. It is a satanic spirit to want to rule the whole world. To want to amass all the power and all the riches, even to the point of being worshipped. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. Nimrod was a type of the Antichrist. There have been many down through the years. Pharaoh would not let the people of Israel go. Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler. That's what they wanted. They wanted to conquer the whole world. They wanted to have all the riches, all the power amassed unto themselves. And let me say, what we are witnessing today in the world, it's the same thing. Same thing happening all over again. A push for a one world government. Christians have talked about and preached about this for years. A one world currency, economy, religion. Same thing happening today. Now, here's the difference today. What is missing is a leader. You know, this thing is happening different now. In the past, there has been a leader, Nimrod. Nebuchadnezzar, everybody come to me, worship me, follow me, do what I say. And here's what's happening today. All these things are coming together, but the leader is not on the scene. Now, I believe with all of my heart, the leader is around. I believe the leader is around, but he's just not publicly on the scene. Must be something hindering that. Now, I've preached all this before. I preached this a few weeks ago out of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I preached on the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist coming. He will not come upon the scene until the church of the living God is gone. The church, the presence of the Spirit of God in the world lets, that's the Bible word, or hinders the appearance of the Antichrist. You say, you believe he's somewhere? I really do. But he just can't come out from behind the curtain yet because of the presence of the church. That is what the Bible teaches. And so we have all these things coming together. This lets me know this will be the last time. Everything's coming to a head. We see it happening all round about us. I'm preaching on Nebuchadnezzar's initiative. I want to show you what he tried to do, but this is also what the Antichrist will do. What he will one day do, probably one day soon. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar's initiative was a global initiative. Look at verses 3 and 4. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." That wasn't just the Babylonians. That was all the people that Nebuchadnezzar had control of, had rule over. He was their king. Notice what it said in verse number 4. The people, the nations, and all the different languages. All of them. This was a global initiative. His plan included the whole world coming together and worshiping this one image of gold that he had set up. You cannot rule the world without all the nations on board. You know, all down through the history of the world, you had different kings. There'll be a king over here and a king over there and king over there and a king across the ocean and all of those things. But if you're going to rule the world, you got to have one king and you got to have all the nations on board. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar aimed to do. I'm going to get everybody in the whole world to do what I say to do. You got to have them all on board. All the different people, all the different nations, all the different languages. If you're going to rule the world, you've got to have all the nations on board. You've got to have all the democracies. You've got to have all the republics. I don't think there's very many of them. You know, America is a republic, not a democracy. Republic is based on rule of law. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it always is. You got to have all the republics. You got to have all the communist countries. You got to have all the socialist countries on board. You've got to have all the Christian countries on board. And that's not really such a thing as that. But America, Britain, some other nations have named or called themselves in times gone by a Christian nation. That does not mean everybody in the nation's a Christian. But you got to have the Christian nations on board. You have to have the Muslim nations on board. There's a lot of Muslim nations. I said the word Muslim a while back. I was talking to somebody about actually the language to me sounded like they were arguing with each other. And the same thing if you've ever been to Germany. That's what I was talking about. And they said, "Oh, I think that sounds racist." Let me tell you, everything you say is not racist. It just sounds to my ear like they're arguing with each other. I know they're not. There's Muslim nations. There's Buddhist nations. Now, if you're going to rule the world, you're going to have them all on board. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do. He was trying to get them all on board, all the nations of the world, all the people, all the nations, all the different languages. It was a global initiative. Now, global is a word that we hear all the time in our day and time. Global. What do you think about? Well, global warming. Hear about that all the time. That's what we're told. This is all our problem. All the nations of the world have got to come together and combat global warming. Global economy. Global this. Global that. Our children in schools for many, many years have not been being taught like they were once upon a time to be a good American citizen. They have been being institutionalized to be a good global citizen. Indoctrinated to be a global citizen, not an American citizen. You know that's right. It's been going on a long time. Global this, global that, a global economy. Have you heard this lately? We're all in this together. No, we're not. You say, oh, you shouldn't even say that. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Nebuchadnezzar said, let me tell you something. You're all going to come, you're all going to bow down, and we're all in this thing together. And they stood up and they said, no, we're not. We're not. I get tired of hearing that. We're not all in this thing together. Some people are absolutely not on the same page. If it's not on this page, I'm not on the same page. But it was a global initiative. It was trying to get all of them together. Now, in Daniel chapter number 3, it was a failure. We'll see that. But I've been reading over in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 13. It's going to be a success. Because here's what the Bible says, Revelation 13 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. That's not talking about Jesus Christ. That's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come. He will set up a one world government. A one world religion will be set up. A one world economy. And all the people in the world are going to worship the Antichrist. It's going to be successful for a time. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life. They're not all going to be in that together. There's some that are not going to even worship the Antichrist. It's those whose names are not, whose names are written in the book of life. So in Revelation, it's going to be success. The Antichrist. Let me show you something. This is the type of the Antichrist. Verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. 60, a score is 20. So 60 is 60. So it was 60 cubits high. The breadth thereof was 6 cubits. 6 cubits round, 60 cubits high. Down in verse number 5, there are 6 instruments that gather the people together to worship the image of gold. Verse number 5, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. That's mostly stringed instruments with a couple of wind instruments. It's a bluegrass band. I don't know what it was. They had banjos and dulcimers and all that stuff, and they played the music. And let me tell you, the music is playing today. The music is being played today, all kinds of instruments and all kinds of music that is calling the people of the world, you better get ready to come and bow down to this. And if you don't, you're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. I'm telling you, the music is being played today. And so we find there is a 666 In this, Revelation chapter number 13, that's where you find about the number of the beast is 666. It's coming. It's coming to this world that we are living in. These are strange times. Man, I'm telling you, things are happening so fast. You better be saved. If you're not saved by the grace of God, I mean, I'm praying every day. These people lost, man, they need to get saved. The Lord's the only one that can save them. They've got to see their need of salvation. But Nebuchadnezzar's initiative was a failure, but the Antichrist is going to be successful. All the people are going to worship him. Now, the global initiative, it depended on some things. Nebuchadnezzar's I'm talking about, it depended upon, number two, gullible people. Gullible means this, easy to deceive, mislead, or trick. All who worship the beast, according to Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, are those whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, if you do not accept the truth, you'll believe a lie. I preach that out of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They will not get saved. They will believe a lie because they love sin and they didn't love the truth. But you've got to have gullible people. Now let me point this out. Nebuchadnezzar's initiative began with what I would call the people that were in authority. The big wigs, the influencers, they were the ones that were gathered together in verse number 2 for the dedication of the image. I personally believe from reading down through this that they had a trial run. They had a dedication, then they told everybody else is going to get together and bow down and worship. Verse number 2, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Look how easy it has been to get the whole world. Get the whole world to stay at home. There's been all kinds of pandemics and diseases and everything you can think of down through the history of the world. But in the past few months, the whole world was told, stay home. If you have a small business, and let me tell you, my heart really goes out to small businesses because you can sink your life into something, and all of a sudden, the whole world, stay home. Don't go to work. Don't open your doors. There's no telling the fallout to come from what has been done to the whole world. The whole world has been told to stay home. The whole world. Now, unless you're Walmart or Lowe's, and evidently, if you're the COVID, you don't go to Lowe's and Walmart, because, I mean, everybody went to Lowe's and Walmart during... You do know what I'm saying? But everybody else has been told to stay home, and guess what? They did. It's been very easy to get the whole world on board for this. I saw somebody the other day, and they were had commented on something to do with the businesses and everything, and they said something like this: "I'm from Germany, and everybody over here is doing such and such." She said, "I feel sorry. I don't know what's wrong with Americans who think that they're right, such and such and such." You know, there's one country, as far as I see it, that it's harder for them to come on board than all the other countries. Europe sold out a long, long time ago, their sovereignty. Christianity is just about zero in other countries. It's been very easy to get the whole world to stay home, not to go to work. It's been very easy to change the whole educational system of the whole world just like that. Who would ever thought that it would even be debated that children wouldn't go to school? I mean, that's been a bedrock of our society. This is how it is, but all of a sudden, and it's still all up in the air. It's been very easy to do that. It's been very easy to get people to wear a mask. I can very easily see the day coming where you won't be able to buy or you won't be able to sell. You don't believe that couldn't happen? It's already happening. If you don't have a mask on, you're not coming in this business. You're not coming in this business. We can't serve you. And I don't care if people wear a mask or not. It doesn't bother me. Just don't tell me I have to do anything. That's just my nature. It doesn't bother me, but to be told you have to do something. It's been very easy for the world, especially the United States of America, to be told. Now, this is what you got to think. Black Lives Matter. Now, I believe Black Lives Matter. Don't get me wrong. If you really read and study into that, it is a political movement that has funds and an agenda. And let me tell you, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is not on the agenda. I believe Black Lives Matter, but I also believe all lives matter. And I believe that blue lives matter. And I believe that baby lives matter. But here's the thing. You're not allowed to say that. That's the sticking point. You can only think one way and say one thing. And if you're not thinking that and you're not saying that, then you're the bad guy. Now, first, they got all the leaders on board. They got all the influential people on board. They got all the politicians. They got all the TV hosts. They got all the commercials saying the same thing. They got all the athletes on board. And if all of them will bow down, and that is what has happened in our country, then who are you, you people and nations and languages in verse number 4, why aren't you bowing down? See, that's what they did. They got all the people that people looked up to and obeyed and all that. They got all them to bow down. And then they told everybody else, now you're going to bow down. Your leaders, your sports athletes, your people you look up to, all the Hollywood crowd, all of them have been bowing down and saying the same thing. Now it's your turn to bow down. Don't think. Don't question. Don't be an individual. Just bow down. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And that is what we're seeing happening in the world today. You've got to have gullible people. Now, if you have the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to think different. You're going to look at things different. Because if the Son ever sets you free, you're free. And you've got His spirit on the inside, which checks against the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what the Spirit of God does. It is hindering the appearance of the Antichrist. So don't feel bad about feeling different. Don't feel bad if you feel like in your heart, you know, there's just some things I just cannot bow down to. It's just not right. It's not biblical. It's not based on the Word of God. It just can't go along. That's the Spirit of God. So don't feel bad about I just can't bow down to everything that comes along. But the gullible people, the lost people, the reprobate minds will easily bow down. They'll fall down and worship. It takes gullible people. It takes gutless people. Look at verse 6 and 7. Now I've said this a long time. It's not just going to be the Christians in trouble. If you are a patriot, and let me tell you, there are some patriotic people that aren't saved, you're going to be in trouble too. If you dare think for yourself, you're going to be in trouble too. Because the only way you can control the whole world is to control all the thoughts and all the actions and all the heart's affections. And if you don't line up, the fiery furnace is for you. But it takes gutless people, and that's what we find in verse 6 and 7. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The music played, they fell down. That's what I've said. The music has been playing, and people are falling down. I saw on a news show the other night that a poll of some kind had been taken, and 67%, two-thirds of those who said, "I'm conservative," 67% of people who were conservative said, "I'm afraid to say anything." Conservative people are afraid to speak out and say anything. Just ask yourself, has there ever been a time when you were at work and you heard some liberal something going on and you just said, "It's just not worth it. I just keep my mouth shut." I have. Now part of it is, I read in the book of Proverbs where the Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." So part of it to me is, a lot of times I keep my mouth shut because you cannot argue with a screaming, yelling, temper tantrum throwing 2-year-old. And that's where we are in our country today. If you dare suggest there's another way to think about something, whining and crying and screaming and hollering, and you're a racist and you're a bigot and blah, blah, blah. And who wants to deal with that? I don't want to deal with that. It's just easier to keep your mouth shut and go on. But let me say something this morning. That is a tactic. That is how toddlers get their way. It's a tactic. And let me tell you, it works on adults as well. Our whole society, let me tell you, there are way more of us than there are of them. But you and I are being trained to keep our mouth shut because you don't want to end up in the newspaper, on the news. You don't want to get fired from your job. You don't want to be labeled that person at work or in your neighborhood or whatever the case might be. But gutless people are the ones that allow the spirit of the Antichrist to prosper and flourish. We are nowhere called to keep our mouth shut concerning the truth. What is the truth of God's word? But these people did. I've got to believe in my heart. There were some other people that down in their heart believed, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. But they did it anyway because they didn't want to get thrown into the fiery furnace. There were more Jews than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We really need to heed the admonition of the Bible. You know, in Joshua chapter number 1, and I've been thinking about preaching on this for a while, but God told Joshua, he said, "Fear not." But he also said, "Be strong and of a good courage." It's one thing not to be afraid, but I believe it's a whole other thing to have courage. Now, if I went to a NASCAR race, I wouldn't be afraid to sit in the stands, although there's some danger to that. You know, years ago, and I think it happened more than one time, but there's a wreck and the car parts everywhere and it went to the stands and killed some people, and now they've got barriers, I guess. But I still wouldn't be afraid to go and sit and watch. But it's a whole other thing to have enough courage to sit in the car and go 200 miles an hour. You can not be afraid and be a spectator, but you really got to have some courage to get in the action. I believe we're called like Joshua to be in on the action, not just to sit by on the, be spectators. Fear not. Don't have the spirit of fear, but we also got to have some good courage. So I might save you a message right there. Just have some courage. We got to have some courage. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, stand therefore. You know, I always thought that kneeling, if you don't kneel to God, you kneel, that is a sign of subjugation. You are, don't laugh at me trying to use big words. I only let Sister Karen sit there so I can keep an eye on her. The Bible doesn't tell us to bow to anything except for God, but the Bible does tell us to stand. Goodness, we got to stand. We that are saved by the grace of God and have the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize we are the only hope this world has? There's no hope in the politics. There's no hope in the global movement. There's no hope in socialism, communism, on and on and on I could go. There's no hope. No hope whatsoever. Every road is a dead-end road except the Calvary Road. We're the only hope. We're the only light. We're the only salt. And we cannot be what we ought to be by just turning a blind eye, being quiet. I know it's hard. I know it puts you on the spotlight. I know all those things. But that's the only thing we're called to do. And if we don't do that, we're just like the people that just went along, just to go along. There was godly people. The initiative, last of all, number 4, the initiative was paused by godly people. Everything powerful King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do was put on hold because godly people stood up and done something. Now look at verse number 8. I'm going to try to hurry along. Verse number 8, the Bible said, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Look at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury, man, that made him mad. They did not bow down. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now the king got them down there and he said, I'm going to give you another chance. And they said, we don't even have to think about it. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I just love to read that. It just thrills my soul. We're not careful to answer thee. One way or the other, we're going to be delivered out of thy hand. I believe with all of my heart that they did not expect what happened to happen. They expected to be thrown in the fiery furnace and, hey, don't threaten me with heaven. You're going to kill us? Kill us. One way or the other, we're delivered out of thine hand. Whatever God does, that's all right. That's the attitude we've got to adopt. We've got to be like the Shadrach, the Meshach, and the Abednego. That's the only option that we have if we're going to be godly people. I love baseball. I've been baseball all my life. I'm very sad to see baseball going down the same road as the football. And the Dodgers played the Giants the other night, and they're having the ceremonies before and everything, and they're all bowing down to a political agenda. And that's what that is. I know. I could get branded for saying that, but that's okay. It's a political agenda. And all that money raised by Black Lives Matter, here's what I don't understand, goes to support old racist white people, Democrats. That's where that money's going. Because they're wanting to turn our country into a socialist, communist country. That's where that money's going. It's political. They wouldn't let the baseball players wear Make America Great patches. They wouldn't let them wear Blue Lives Matter patches. It's just one thing. This one thing. There was one player for the San Francisco Giants who did not bow down. And here was his reason. And this is really a really good reason. Here's what he said. He was the only one that didn't bow down. He said, I am a Christian, and I cannot kneel before anything but God. Amen. A friend, a preacher friend, sent that to me, and I sent back, and I put Shadrach. Where was the other two? He said, I just can't do it. I'm a Christian. We need some godly people in this day and time who will say, I just can't do it. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to bow down to the spirit of this world. I cannot get on board with some things. I'm on board with some things I can't get on board with. I cannot get on board with the group that wants to destroy our country. You think it's bad now? Well, it could be a whole lot worse. I'm thankful for our nation. I'm thankful for our Constitution. But I want to say today that we that are here better make up your mind, because the stand we take could very well come with a cost. Do you know when I was in Cuba, a communist country, and they were watching us the whole time. They were people that, and they were, the Christians were very watchful of what was going on outside of what we were doing. And I did not have a religious visa. I was not supposed to be teaching and preaching. They told me in the airport, right when we got there, came up and said, you know, you're not to do any religious activities while you're here. And I was teaching one day, and there's a police out there, and act like his car was broke down. He was watching. One of the men noticed, and we switched out real quick, and I sat down, and one of the other preachers got up, and we had a break, and the week wasn't over yet. And I told the preacher on the next day, he was talking to us, he said, we got to be really careful, and you know, if that happens again, and talking all this talk. And I said, brother, I said, I don't have to teach. I said, really? I said, let these other men, I said, that won't hurt my feelings. And he said, no, brother. He said, we know there's a cost to follow Jesus. Well, I tell you what, that helped me. He wouldn't hear that. We'll just sit down and not follow the Lord. He said, we know there's a cost. We'd better know today there's a cost coming to us if we make up our minds, I am going to follow Jesus. I might get thrown in the burning fiery furnace. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 8 says that they overcame him, talking about the Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We love our lives too much sometimes. Oh, I don't want my finances to be touched. I don't want my job to be touched. I'm not trying to get anybody fired. But I'm telling you, if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to cost you. Just might as well make up your mind. It's going to cost us. If things keep going on the way they're going, it's going to cost us. We may very well come down to the decision, if I go to church, I'm likely to be fined, arrested, put in the newspaper, protested against. What are you going to do? Somebody in our congregation, sooner or later, is going to get COVID. What are we going to do? Stop coming to church? We don't stop when somebody gets the flu. Somebody sooner or later is going to die. You know, I've been here 16 over years now. We've had a funeral every year. We're probably going to have a few more. We going to stop coming to church? I'm just saying it'd be good for us to think about these things before the time comes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I've already made up my mind. Unless the Lord shows me different, the Lord's told me, go into the temple and preach to the people. That's what I'm supposed to do. What comes in the future, by the grace of God, I intend to come into the church, preach to whoever's here, even if it's just my own family. What are you going to do? This is serious stuff. This is happy stuff. I am trying to close. It was put on pause by God's people, and last of all, by God's intervention. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that political person that you thought was your friend, that law enforcement you thought was your buddy, might be the one to put you in cuffs. We come right down to it. Because see, they all liked each other before this. Isn't that where we are in our country? Before all this junk, we got along really well. Boy, he got mad at them. He threw them into the burning, fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let me tell you, even liberals are killing each other. You notice that? I told Kim, I said, they need to start a new show, liberals eating their own people. There's going to be nowhere to shop, nowhere to drive. There's going to be, they're canceling everything and boycotting everything, and I'm not buying and I'm not going. There's not going to be anywhere else to buy or go. You'll have to stay home. Hating on one another. It's awful. Even the men that he had to put them in the fire, it killed them. Verse 23, they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Boy, I like that. Let me tell you, the Lord never said he wouldn't keep them out of the furnace, but he sure was with them in it. That's what we can trust in today. The Lord promises none of us, you'll never have any problems. You won't be persecuted. You won't get sick. You don't find that in the Bible. But what you find in the Bible is he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Paul was persecuted, and he said, notwithstanding, in all these things, the Lord stood by me. The Lord never left him. He won't leave us. He might just intervene. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Well, we need a revival in this nation. That's our only hope. There was only a revival because they stood up. If they'd have bowed down, Nebuchadnezzar would have gotten his initiative, but they wouldn't do it. We're going to have to make up our minds. I'm closing. Are you saved? You're here today. Are you saved by the grace of God? You got your mind made up? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God. We got to get our heart right. We got to get our mind right. We got to realize the seriousness of the day which we're living in. I told Kim yesterday, I said, all this stuff I've preached on for years and years and years. Nothing's changed. I really believe that's why we've got people here this morning. I really do. And I also believe that's why there's still churches, and I'm not judging. They won't even come meet together. We got to have our mind, our heart in this book. And it's got to be a reality, or we're going to be sitting at home and looking for the governor to tell us what to do. God help us. Any governor. We got something far greater. We got a God in heaven that'll be right with you in the furnace. Like our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask the ladies to come back to instruments and play. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to your heart. I wonder. I'm glad you're here today. I love our people. I mean, if you're not here, if you're watching on Facebook, that's great and that's wonderful. But I'm glad they some just said, I'm going to go to the house of God. I'm going to worship. Maybe you're here today and the Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe in your family. Maybe at work. Like old preacher. It's coming. What are you going to do? I'm going to ask them just to play quietly something for just a moment. If you're here and God spoke to your heart and you need to come, won't you come? If you need to pray, pray for our nation. Pray for your family. Pray for the lost. If you're here and you're lost,